News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
Minister for Children, Disability and Equality Norma Foley is bringing a memo to Cabinet to make it mandatory for employers to use the new gender pay reporting portal so as to ultimately chip away at the gender pay gap. Jennifer Keane is with us. She's founder of paygap.ie. Jennifer, will this make any difference?
I mean, probably not, because the data has to be visible for it to make a difference. And as of right now, we're still waiting for the public to actually even be able to access the apparently small amount of data that was uploaded last year.
And the small amount of data goes where and serves what purpose?
I mean, in an ideal world, it would be public. People will be able to track it, look and see if it had changed over time, research companies that they maybe want to work for or work with. But in practice, it went into the portal. Still, no one except maybe internal government people can access that data in the portal. And it also caused a bit of confusion last year, because I contacted some companies myself looking for their data, as I do every year. And they told me, oh, we've already uploaded it to the portal. They didn't realize that they were still going to have to make it public, because they thought they'd met their obligation by uploading it to the government portal. But since the public can't access that data, they were actually outside of their obligation. They weren't meeting their legal obligations. So not only is it not super useful, it's actually causing confusion for companies trying to use it as well.
There's also sort of an implicit sense in this that you will, once light is shone on the pay gap, it will dissolve in public view. Is that the case? Is every company, once they get the pay gap examined, are they going to end it?
I wish it were that simple. If the pay gap were made of sugar and we could just rain on it, that would be magnificent. But no, I think there's a lot to do to solve it. It's the pay gap is a whole lifetime issue. It's the pay gap in your 20s, the maternity gap in your 30s, the progression gap in your 40s, the pension gap in your 60s. And just like not one thing causes it, not one thing is going to solve it. So we do need the light shone on it, because we need to track it. We need to actually understand what Ireland's pay gap really is, what industries need work, need support, etc. So it's important that we have the data, but just having the data in and of itself isn't going to really solve the problem.
It's also an area that's widely misunderstood, isn't it? There is a sense that the pay gap is about men and women being paid differently for the same work, which it very rarely is.
Oh, you're absolutely spot on. It is. People see a pay gap and they think, oh my God, this company is paying women 20% less. It's really more sort of an aggregate understanding of progression in the company, equality in the industry, etc., etc. A company with a 20% pay gap might be a company that has very few women at senior level, or they could be a company in an industry that has very few women overall, like construction. So it's important to look at the figure in the context of everything, and also in the context of the other figures in the report, right? The report is more than just one pay gap figure. And so that's why I'm always encouraging people to really look beyond that one figure you might see in a news report and deep dive in and see, is there something that might help you understand it or give context to it as well?
What about those industries? You cite construction, Jennifer. If you take, let's take construction and nursing side by side, in one you have between 90 and 96% male, in one you have 90 to 96% female representation. Is that something that is intrinsically negative and should be resolved? Or are there certain industries that lean towards certain genders, no matter how fair the system?
I mean, it's not something that's intrinsically negative. I think we've a lot of work to do in terms of how we tell children what jobs are available for them, how we encourage them to explore their interests. And we do sometimes still push children inadvertently in one direction or another, which does cause the classic pipeline problem of, oh, we tried to hire, but there aren't enough women available, there aren't enough men available. But what we do also see in industries that are predominantly female, like nursing, like primary school teaching, etc., is that the men in those industries do still disproportionately rise to leadership positions. So for example, the Department of Education publishes the numbers of teachers and the genders of those teachers in teaching roles and in leadership roles within teaching. And when you break that down, men are actually three times more likely to be a primary school principal than women, even though women vastly outnumber, it's like 5 or 6 to 1 outnumber men in primary school teaching. So it's the pipeline problem, but it's also a reflection of who's progressing. And that's why I say you need to look at all the figures. And
well, can you expand on that a bit?
Context.
Because I realize it's going to be multifactorial and challenging, but in as much as it is possible, what causes that, where you have a majority female workforce with a majority male leadership? How do you end up there?
It's different policy decisions. It's things like, women don't want to be a principal. Why don't they want to be a principal? Because it requires a level of work that doesn't include any flexibility, and women are more likely to want and need flexibility because they're still considered the primary carers of the family, primary carers of children, primary carers of older parents or older family members. So when you have jobs that maybe there's no flexibility in terms of a job share, there's no flexibility in terms of work from home or those kinds of things, what you'll often see is more men. You'll see the cliff where women progress to a certain level and then they just stop. And it's because expectations of positions at those levels don't include the flexibility that women predominantly need. Men benefit from that flexibility that women kind of sometimes sacrifice their careers to provide, because they can rise to those leadership levels because they don't have to worry about who's picking the child up from school when the child is sick, who's looking after my mother when she needs to go to the hospital, etc., etc.
Jennifer, thanks very much for that analysis. Jennifer Keane there, who is founder of paygap.ie. If you have a view.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.